On Christmas Day, we went up to my parents for dinner. And when we got home, I was kind of sitting around. And then after a little while, I went out to my garage and I began staring at my boat and just kind of looking it over. And I was trying to figure out how I could get it on the ice and, get the motor going, go down, take Annie some ice to do some ice fishing on the boat. But I realized that's not going to work. So I started looking over and kind of began to imagine in my mind what I want to put on my boat. I need to get seats on there, and I need to get some lights on there so I can fish at night. Connie gave me a depth finder for Christmas so I can find fish. So, I got to mount that somewhere, and I got some switches to kind of, turn the lights on and off, and I have a battery that I got to figure out where that's going to go, and a light up front, a light out back, and I got to figure all that stuff out. So I was just kind of staring there, going around in my head on, what it's going to look like and where to put those things on the boat. And so then I thought, well, I need to put this in writing. So I went back in the house and I began to think about it, and I drew a boat on a piece of paper. You don't want to see how I draw boats, but I drew a boat. Kind of a rectangle on a piece of paper, and I began marking where I thought I might want some things to go. And the reason I did that is because I wanted to have a picture of the road I was going to take and what it looked like when I got there. Have you ever been driving somewhere and you weren't sure if, where you were at and kind of wondering if you were lost or not? And then all of a sudden you went around the turn and you said, "Oh, I'm here." Because you remembered what it looked like when you were there. When we think about the Christian life, and we think about what it means to live as a Christian, what it means to be a mature Christian, I think sometimes Christians have no idea what that looks like. We have no idea that when we get here and that road we're taking to get there, what's it going to be like when I'm there? If I look at a Christian, what is a mature Christian? What are the characteristics in their life that I can look at, or in my own life that I need to look at, and I can say, this is a mature believer. This is a mature Christian. I think sometimes people, when they think about that, they think, well, a mature believer is someone who goes to church all the time. And that's it. As long as you go to church, you're a mature believer. It's not it. A mature believer is, something that we can see because someone's carrying around a big giant print Bible. And if you carry around a big giant print Bible and you show everybody that Bible, that's got to be a mature believer. I think also sometimes people think that that's only for the select few. That when you go to a church, you're going to see maybe a couple of people, they're really mature believers, but I'll never get there. I'll never be like them because it's only for a select few. Well, this morning, I would like to look at what a mature believer looks like and then begin to look at how a person becomes a mature believer. So let's begin looking at some characteristics, and they begin in James chapter 1. I want to begin reading in verse 2. Consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So I want you to notice, first of all, the first characteristic of a mature believer is that he perseveres. He perseveres. Perseveres during difficult times. A mature believer is not a quitter. He has gone through many faith-testing events, and he has stood his ground and even grown. He's become strong. Notice it says that in verse 4, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. So if perseverance has to finish its work so that I will be mature, it means that a mature believer does persevere. We need to understand that that maturity takes time. You don't become a Christian and a week later become a mature believer. It takes time. It never happens overnight. And God uses a variety of different events in our life to help us to grow and become mature. And it takes perseverance, and it says perseverance will lead to maturity. And so a mature believer has learned to persevere. Now, perseverance isn't necessarily talking about, you know, just going through tough times. People often say that I've gone through the school of hard knocks, therefore, you know, I'm really smart. Well, that's not necessarily true. You can go through the school of hard knocks and get all F's. Perseverance is something that God builds in our life as we go through faith testing events. And as we do that, we become mature. And as we're going through those things, God is working in those things to help us to become what we need to become. But it is also not just going through those difficult events. And it is not persevering, for example, in a football game. Or if you're a boxer, it's not, you know, making it to the end. The perseverance that James is talking about here is perseverance in the faith. Perseverance in the Christian life. Or let me say it this way. What would it take for you to walk away from God? What would it take for you to turn your back on God? What would it take for you to quit doing the things that God wants you to do? What would it take for you to quit praying, quit going to church, quit reading your Bible, quit serving God? See, a mature believer is someone who's gone through all kinds of events. And in the end, they're stronger in their relationship with God. When I was in college, I began looking at some of the men that I really respected. I mean, these are the guys that I kind of put on the highest pedestal I could put on. These were the guys I looked to. You know what I noticed about every one of their lives? In every one of their lives, they've gone through heartache. They haven't just gone through some suffering. They've gone through a lot of suffering. But at the end, they were still faithful to God. And we see so often people who proclaim Christ, and then they begin going through some difficult times, and they say, well, if God's going to treat me this way, I'm out of here. If God really loved me, he wouldn't do this to me, I'm out of here. But the mature believer, as they go through those kinds of events, they're growing stronger. See, we see maturity in a person's life when they're going through severe tests, when they're going through severe difficulty, and in the midst of them, they're praising God. In the midst of them, they're offering thanks to God, and they're not complaining. They're not grumbling. In the midst of them, they are looking to God for strength, and they're not waiting until they're all over and kind of then laughing about them, but in the midst of them, they keep serving God, and their faith is strong. That is maturity. That is the kind of person we need to look up to. That is the kind of person we need to turn to and say, that is a mature believer, and that is where I want to get. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? I remember reading Jeremiah, and he was going through a whole lot of problems. Everything he was preaching to the people, they didn't want to hear, having all kinds of difficulties, and God confronted him for kind of crying. And if I may use my own words, God kind of said to him, look, if you're going to be a baby now, what are you going to do when it really gets tough? Proverbs 24, verse 15 and 16 says, do not lie in wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling place, for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down by calamity. See, the thing that is true of a righteous man, of a mature believer, they may get knocked over, but they keep getting back up. They're like that clown that you used to be able to get when you were a kid, and, you know, it was weighted on the bottom, and you blew it up, and, man, you could beat that thing to death, and it just kept getting back up. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. See, a mature believer is someone who's taken the hardest punch that life could throw at them, and they're still following God. They're still living for Christ. They're still doing what God wants them to do. Maturity. Number two, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. The second characteristic of a mature believer is that he loves his enemies. He loves his enemies. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Isn't that the way the world works? Love those people who are good to you, but those people who are bad to you, oh, you could hate them all you want. If someone scratches your back, then it's all right to scratch their back, but if they don't scratch your back, they're on their own when they got an itch. Verse 44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now this word perfect here is the same word we saw in James, complete. It has the idea of being mature. Be mature as God is mature. Be fully grown as God is fully grown. The word means to bring to completion. It can refer to human adulthood or a fully grown plant. And this word we find in every passage we're going to look at this morning that talks about what it means to be mature. These are not just things I picked on my own. These passages, these characteristics are all the things that God mentions in his word that tell us this is maturity. So notice, a mature believer loves his enemies. The whole context here is how you treat people who treat you terribly. How you respond to those who are hostile towards you. How do you treat those whom it takes an effort to love? See, one of the things that is true of a mature believer is that when they run into people who are hostile, run into people who are unlovely, run into people that it really takes an effort to love them, the mature believer does. The mature believer does. So when we think about maturity, we got to ask ourselves, how do I treat those who have treated me horribly? Do I love them? Notice it also says here that we ought to pray for them. Now, we're not praying that God zaps them. We're praying that God will work in their heart and work in their life that they might turn back to God and repent of the way they're living. And we're working that we can, or praying that we can build a relationship with them. We are loving them. So how do you respond to those who are hostile towards you? Sometimes people come to me and they're dealing with difficult relationship, and I'll say, well, you know, you got to love them. And they say, but you don't know what they did to me. Well, you got to love them as your neighbor. The Bible declares that. But you don't know what they did to me. Well, all right, you just got to love them as your enemy. See, that's what Jesus is saying here. Look, if you're going to be like God, and that's what we need to be working towards, the characteristics of God, then God loves his enemies. God loves even the wicked. He brings them the same thing he does the righteous, the sun and the rain. So if you want to be like God, you got to love your enemy. You know, there's a whole host of Christians who are saying that God does not love the lost, God does not love the unsaved person, I want you to know they must just rip this verse out of their Bible. Because it says God loves the wicked. Do you love the way that God loves? If you do, then you are a mature believer. God even loves the wicked. To illustrate that, I point you to the cross of Jesus. The Bible says that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, that one of the seven sayings that he said from the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Now, could you imagine that? Someone nails you to a cross after beating you to an inch of your life, and you're there hanging on the cross, and you are literally bleeding to get death and suffocating to death. And as you hang there, you pray, "Father, forgive them." Now you might say, okay, well, God can do that, but I can't do that. Well, then I remind you of Stephen, who preached to the Jews, and as he did in Acts chapter 7, the Jews started a riot. They took him outside the city and they began to stone him. And he prayed to God that God might forgive them. See, how do you react and respond to those who are hostile? The mature believer has a loving attitude, has a loving response. Now, they're not perfect. We're all still working towards that. But as a way of life, you see, really a totally different attitude from the mature believer as they respond to those who are hostile. A mature believer tries to overcome evil with good. And that's one of the things that makes him mature. Number three. Turn back with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 1. "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man," that's that word again, mature, "able to keep his whole body in check." So a mature believer is disciplined. He is disciplined. He's able to keep his body in check, and even the most difficult part of his body, he's able to keep that in check, and that is the mouth. In other words, the more mature you become, the less you stick your shoe in your mouth. Connie and I were talking the other day, and she brought up something I don't even remember saying. And she enjoyed bringing it up. But I still don't believe I said it. Well, maybe I did. Sounds like something I might have said years ago. We had a family who was coming to church, and did they have the baby, or the baby was already around? They just had the baby. Makes it all the better. They just had the baby, and I saw the baby. She's giving me eyes. I saw the baby and I said, "Your baby looks like a gorilla." Now, I was young and stupid back then. I certainly was not mature. I certainly hope I would never say that again. But she said I said it. And if she said I said it, you know, I must have said it. But I don't remember saying it. See, a mature believer is able to keep their mouth in check. And as you grow in your relationship with God, you begin to say less and less things that are dumb. And I've said a whole box load of them over the years. But I hope as I've been growing and as I've been maturing, I don't say them as often. A mature believer keeps their body in check, keeps their mouth in check. They are disciplined. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, "I beat my body. I beat it." in order that I might tell my body what I wanted to do instead of my body telling me what it wants to do. In other words, Paul's saying, look, as I grow in my faith, I'm disciplining my body so that after I preach to others, I myself might not be a castaway. I think that relates to temptation. You know, you tempted by sin, as you mature, learn and grow and begin to say no. I have Yahoo here at the church, and you probably know that from the church's Yahoo address. And when I'm on Yahoo and I go on to read mail, of which the other day I came in, and on Monday morning I usually have between 50 and 70 emails. So when you forward me some emails, 9 times out of 10 I'm not going to read them because I got to get through all these emails. And the pastor in the Philippines who went to our website now listens to the sermons there. He wrote me over probably 3 times over the Christmas holiday. And it's great to be going back and forth with him. But, you know, when I go on there, on the right side there are advertisements because I have the freebie. And in those advertisements, at least one time while I'm on there, the advertisement is offering me a phone number to a girl. Saying, if you really don't have a good girl in your life, call this phone number and you'll find the perfect one. So, you know, I'm just getting tired of seeing that. So I went and I emailed Yahoo. And I said to them, I said, you know, I don't like this garbage on my email. I don't want to see it. Would you get rid of it? And I got an email a few days later. And they said, we want you to know that we're very careful what we put on our email site and that we think we do not put anything on there that's inappropriate. So if you really want to get rid of them, then you got to spend $20 a month to get rid of the commercials. See, the thing is, the more mature you become, when those kinds of things happen, you're able to say no. Mature believer also realizes they don't play with sin and play with temptation. They flee it. But a mature believer is a disciplined believer. One who's able to keep their mouth and their life in check. Number four. Hebrews chapter 5. Go back one book. Hebrews chapter 5. A mature believer has a steady diet of God's word. A mature believer has a steady diet of God's word. And I want to explain that. Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. The writer of Hebrews, I believe the Apostle Paul, is writing to this group of people. He says, look, you're not growing up. You're still babies. By this time, you ought to know the basic teachings of God's word, the elementary things. But you know what? Every time you come, I'm still teaching you the elementary truths because you're not growing up. It's like a little literal baby that's still drinking milk and hasn't gone on to food. Verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. A mature believer has feasted on the treasures of God's word. They have gotten to God's word and they have literally feasted on it. Christmas Day. My mother made turkey and stuffing and green beans with those little onion things on them and gravy, mashed potatoes, and a whole bunch of vegetables that I didn't really look close at because they stunk. And all kinds of, what's that vegetable that really smells? Rutabagas. I don't know why anyone in their right mind would eat those things. But anyway. I piled my plate with mashed potatoes and turkey and the green beans with those things on it and stuffing. I love stuffing. I had seconds on stuffing, and then I even got one more bite of stuffing. I mean, I was eating that stuff, and then we took some home for leftovers, and I ate it at least two meals again because I just love stuffing. You love the Word of God? Now, it's important to understand this. Realize this. A mature believer is not necessarily someone who knows a lot about the Word of God. You can know a lot about the Word of God and not be a mature believer. You can go to the Bible and read it every day and not be a mature believer. You can come to church all the time and open up your Bible and take notes and not be a mature believer. But if you look at this passage, especially the last verse, verse 15, it says that the mature believer is someone who has gone to the meat of God's Word and has been in it often. And as a result, they can distinguish good from evil. In other words, a mature believer is someone who has had a diet of God's Word, a steady diet of God's Word, and they have applied God's Word to their life. God's Word has begun to change their life. God's Word is working in their life. God's Word is growing in their life. Colossians 3:16 tells us that God's Word should have its home in our life so that the person that spends so much time in God's Word has allowed God's Word to impact their life in every area of their life. So as they begin to live their life, they can distinguish the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do. And as a result, they do the right thing. You know, it is amazing that the more time you spend in God's Word and allow God's Word to just keep, you know, affecting your attitude and your heart and your mind, that you begin to realize just by seeing some things, I shouldn't do that. That's okay to, no, I'm staying away from that thing. I'm not even going near that thing. Steady diet on God's Word so it's beginning to affect who you are so you can distinguish the good things from the bad things, the right things from the wrong things, the righteous things from the evil things. See, a mature believer has done that so they have eaten up God's Word and it has impacted life and it has changed the way that they live. Maturity cannot happen apart from the Word of God. And it so amazes me how many Christians think that they can keep their Bible closed all week, come to church on Sunday, and somehow they're going to become a mature believer. It just can't happen. A mature believer has a love for God's Word. They dig in it, they feast on it, they memorize it, they meditate on it, and it begins to change who they are. And as that happens, they rise to maturity. Number five. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Fifth characteristic of a mature believer is that he is always striving to become more like Christ. A mature believer is always striving to become more like Christ. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. I love it. Paul says, look, if you don't think like I do, God will make it clear and you'll get to the point where I'm at. A mature believer is someone who's always striving to become more like Christ. Notice Paul says, look, there's a goal towards which God is plan for our lives. And he said, I am straining towards that goal. And I want you to know, as the Apostle Paul, I'm not there yet. I still got a long way to go. So I am straining towards that goal. Do you know a mature believer will never walk up to you and say, hey, you know what? I'm a mature believer. But a mature believer is never satisfied with where they're at. They never walk around feeling like, you know, they kind of got it all together. They walk around knowing that they're still working on it. They're still growing. There's still more to go. There's still much to become like Jesus Christ. And that is so different from the average religious person. The average religious person goes to church and puts, you know, a dollar or two in the offering, and then they walk away saying, man, ain't I so good? A mature believer knows that the goal is becoming like Jesus. Do you know that's why God saved you? Some people believe that God saved them to go to heaven, and God is going to do that, but that's the icing on the cake. The reason God saved you is to become like Jesus. God saved you so that you could become part of your family if you have received Christ as your Savior. God saved you that you might become like Jesus. Listen to it. In Romans chapter 8, it says this. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, for those who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So it says that God saved you that you might become like Jesus. I wonder, when you look in the mirror, do you see Jesus? When you go home from church today, go look in the mirror. When you look in the mirror, do you see Jesus? When someone is hostile towards you, you know, when they cut you off on the road, or maybe they don't let you out when you're trying to get out, do you look in your rearview mirror and see Jesus driving the car? Jesus is the one that God wants us to be like. Now, you might say to me this morning, say, look, Tom, I'm never going to be like Jesus till maybe I get to heaven. So what do you mean that a mature believer is someone who's straining to become like Jesus? Well, the reality is that we will not become exactly like Jesus until we get to heaven, until we see Jesus face to face. But what does it mean to be like Jesus? Well, what was Jesus like? In the simplest statement I can give you of what Jesus was like, it is simple as this. Jesus was obedient to his Father in everything. Everything that Jesus did was done in obedience to God. So a mature believer is someone who's striving to become in everything they do, in everything they think, in everything they say, they're striving to become obedient to God. And they're not doing that because they're afraid that if they don't, God's going to punish them. They're doing that out of thankfulness and love for what God did when he saved them. Mature believers always striving to become more than what they are. They're striving to become like Jesus. So you might say this morning, how do I get there? If I look at these five characteristics, how do I get those things in my life? Well, again, let me just repeat it, that it doesn't happen overnight. It's taken me years to learn not to call babies gorillas. It doesn't happen overnight. The growth in the Christian life is something that takes time, and it's something that takes time in the Word of God. And you might say, look, this person got saved the same time as me, and they're way up here, and I'm way down here. What's going on? We've been saved the same amount of time. We've been Christians the same amount of time. Why are they up there, and I'm down here? Well, there's three things that need to happen, and I'm going to give these things here really quick that need to happen for you to become a mature believer. Number one, God must do his part. If you're going to become a mature believer, God must do his part. And we already saw in James chapter 1 that God's bringing us through all kinds of events to develop perseverance in our life. And we see that truth all over the Word of God, so we know that God will do His part. God is working in our life to help us to become mature. The second thing that needs to happen is that the pastor needs to do his part. Colossians 1, verse 28 and 29, Paul said, look, I'm preaching. And the purpose of my preaching is that I might present you mature in Christ. So that means I got to do my part. If you're going to become a mature believer, I've got to do my part, or you're going to kind of drag your feet and you're not going to grow the way that God wants you to grow if you're coming to this church. That means I have to preach the whole counsel of God. That means I got to teach you all aspects of the Word of God so that you might know the things you need to know. That means I got to do those things even if I know I'm going to hit a topic that's really going to get some people upset. It means I can't shrink back from doing that. It means that we have to set up a program within our church where we make sure that we give you a well-rounded diet so that you can grow. I must do my part. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make sure that you hear from God's Word what you need to hear in order for you to grow. We know God's going to do His part. That leaves one part of this equation still there. And you've probably already guessed it. You've got to do your part. If you're going to become a mature believer, you've got to do your part. You know, Christianity is not like the phrase we so often hear. So often people say, well, I'm just going to let go and let God. I want you to know that's not biblical. The Bible says in Philippians that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Paul said, I'm striving, I'm straining to get to the goal God wants me to get to. It is a matter in our life that there are things we need to be doing if we are going to grow, if we are going to become mature. And the reason one person is up here and another person is down here is because this person is doing the things they need to do to grow and this person is not. And if you look around and say, boy, there's people passing me out in their relationship with God. What's going on? I don't know any other way to say it than to say you're not doing the things you need to be doing. Because as the writer of Hebrews told the Hebrews, look, you guys are still infants. You should be teachers by this time. But I got to give you milk and not solid food because you're not ready for it. That is why when you were little, your parents used to say, eat your vegetables. And I used to eat my vegetables. I'd stuff them in my mouth and go into the bathroom and spit them in the toilet. And I would not go near rutabagas. But I ate enough of them. Well, maybe I didn't. I ate enough of them to become a mature adult. Are you doing the things you need to do? Now, you may ask a very simple question. It's a legitimate question. What are the things I need to do to become a mature believer? The answer is, join me next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and I'll give you those things. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you that your word tells us the things we need to be doing. Help us, Father, to understand our part in this whole equation. Help us, Father, to realize that there are things that we need to be doing if we're going to be mature. And I pray, Father, that we might take this list home with us. We might look it over and realize these are the things that need to be true of our lives if we're going to be where God wants us to be. Help us, Father, not to be satisfied with where we're at. But may we always be straining ahead towards the goal of Christ-likeness. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.